We're going to spend time this morning looking at what we call the victory in the Supreme Court this week. You kind of look at it a little bit and explain a little bit. But I got to say one thing, though. It's funny, during praise and worship, I don't know if Chuck heard me or not for one time, but I'm back here praising the Lord, and he called the mute to sing or talk. Remember that song? Well, back here, the T looked like an L. He called the mule to speak. And I caught myself. I thought, that doesn't sound right. And it took me a second to catch. So, if you hear me sing about a mule back here, guys, it was a mistake. It was, well, that's funny. I got to sit closer to up front, you know. See, that's why she needed to get me the lyrics. That way I can have them back here, you know. I do have an eye doctor appointment on Tuesday, so maybe he'll correct that for me. So, you know, the turn there, but I was going to speak just 1 second on this one verse. And it's on Matthew 6, verse 33, where Jesus just says this. He says, "Hey, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the things that we need will be added to us." Amen? So, meaning, as we put the Lord first in our life, we follow him, he'll supply our needs, that he might use other hands to do that, okay? But he'll meet our needs as we govern him, always putting him first. And so, politics isn't a very popular subject at times, but I'm going to speak a couple of times on that today. And going back to a politician who kept his word when he ran for the office of President of the United States. And back in 2016, we had a choice of two parties. And don't start throwing tomatoes at me, okay? I don't like vegetables. But you had one party that stood up for the right for life. And you had one party that stood up for abortion, even up to the point of birth. Okay, I mean, that's what it come down to, right? And we had a politician say, "Listen, if I'm elected, I will appoint Supreme Court justices that Roe versus Wade would be overturned." Y'all remember that? Okay. And there's quite a conflict going on in a lot of the churches. You know, like, "Oh man, we can't vote for President Trump. Look at him. He's obnoxious. Look at his lifestyle." And so we go back, first of all, okay, what's the most important part in our life? You know, what would God want us to do? Okay? He already told us, "Hey, I'll meet all your needs. Seek me in my righteousness. And I'll meet your needs." So there's no politician out there can buy your vote. You can't bribe me, you're going to give me more money. You can't bribe me, you're going to give me more of this, because God said to provide all my needs, right? He says that. Okay? Now, it was the Christian vote, when you go through anything and you study and analyze things, it was a Christian vote that put President Trump into office. Okay? And he did exactly what he said. The opportunity came around. He appointed three Supreme Court justices that believed in your Constitution. Okay? Not their Constitution, but your Constitution, which is theirs also. Understand? Okay? So how important it is now, here we are, 2 years into the next administration, and the appointees that no doubt God used Mr. Trump to appoint, they had their opportunity this past week. I don't take that lightly, because we saw several weeks ago where it was leaked that the Supreme Court justices was going to overturn the Roe versus Wade decision. Remember that? Remember the riots going on? Remember the threats going on to the justices? Threatened to kill him? One guy even flew in to kill him. It took everything we had to get him and get arrested. Threatened to kill a Supreme Court justice. So think about this. Think of a decision that you're going to make. They found out, "Fred, you're going to make a decision. I'll just pick on you today." Okay? And boy, it's a very unpopular decision. "Now I heard Fred was going to do this." "No, you can't do that." Let's say President Mayor of Coshocton, he's going to turn this certain street into a one-way street. I'll go clear around the block. All of us will. So we go to Fred's house and say, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. Boy, I'm telling you what, you do that, boy, we're going to do this to you. We're going to tear down your house. And we're going to harass your kids and your wife. And the day comes to make that decision. And Fred makes that decision. Why did he make that decision? Because it's best for the community. That way the fire trucks can get closer to out on the main road or whatever. He makes that decision knowing that it's very unpopular, that people threaten him, threaten the lives of his family. But he took an oath to uphold, and he did it anyway. And folks, that's who you have right now. Five of those justices, the vote was 5-4 on the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. You got five of them that put their entire life on the line, and their family and their kids and their grandkids, because they threatened every one of them. They stood up for your Constitution. Friday night we gather here, we had a special prayer because it's threatening at 8 o'clock to riot and threatening to grab to the justices and stuff and destroy and loot and do everything. We saw it happen a couple years ago, right? We saw our politicians Friday saying, yes, do that. We're not going to pay no attention to the justices. That thing called Pelosi and the other one, Schumer. Pay no attention. What does your Constitution show? Are we governed by our Constitution or not? Was our Constitution created with God involved in it? Wasn't a third of the Constitution written based upon Scripture? Didn't God establish America? Wow. Amen. Amen. So that's the kind of people we have right now that put it all on the line, not because of what they thought was right or wrong, because of what the Constitution says. That's all Mr. Trump said he's going to do. Why? Why did he say we'll overturn Roe versus Wade? Folks, because that's not a constitutional issue. Understand that. 1973, the challenge came. And the justices said, oh yeah, a woman has the right to kill a baby. Now, I ask you today, get out your Constitution and show me where it says that. See, all the federal court does is uphold your Constitution. Amen? Amen. If it's not in the Constitution, folks, it comes back to our states. We are 50 states united, okay? Every state has the right to govern themselves. But federally, we have a federal government brought together to protect our borders. That you and I can live our life the way we want to, okay? Now, I'll raise my hand. Who owns a firearm? I do. Why? The Constitution says I can. And it says that that shall not be infringed. Amen? Freedom of speech. Who's got freedom of speech? Who voted? What gives us that right? The Constitution. You show up my house today, is I'm going to take your guns? No, you're not. If Fred came in uniform, well, we're both retired now, but in the day that you're not going to do it, hey, I come take your guns. No, you're not. I have a constitutional right to my guns, unless I'm in violation, you know, I'm a felon or whatever. You can't, and I can challenge that. I'm taking the Supreme Court. Might take a few years to get there. And it will say, well, yes, Starkey Lawrence has a right to bear arms. That right shall not be infringed. And it will say whether it's a .22 or a bazooka. Constitution right. But when it comes to the issue of Roe versus Wade, and folks, I don't know if her real name was Roe or not, but her heart was broken. They used her. They set her up. And when it all went through, she couldn't believe they used her for this. And I don't know if she's still alive or today, but we really believe she's rejoicing. She died in 2017. She's rejoicing, no doubt, that it's been overturned. Because all it's saying, all the Supreme Court is saying, that nowhere in the Constitution do we have a right to an abortion. Okay? So it turns it back down to the state level. Why? Because we are governed by ourselves. You have the right to elect people who think the way you do. Think of that. How many people here like to go surfing? How many people like the beach? Okay. You really like it enough? You go to California and live, right? If you wanted to. I'm just saying you could. Charlie, you could. You might not want to. Or you go to Florida. I don't know where all the beaches are, you know. To me, the beach is Lake Park one day. It used to be sand over there, you know. But if California's got more what you want that you really believe in, surfing, you know, surfing so far, you know, okay, you can move there, okay? If you like to hunt bear and stuff, you move to Canada or Alaska, right? You have the right to do that, okay? It'd be kind of hard to move into the city of Coshocton to hunt bear. I mean, you could, but you never kill anything, okay? If you really wanted it, you move to where the officials have, well, you can hunt bear, you got seasons here or there. See what we're saying here? Anything that took place this week, and praise God for this, that the court's saying, listen, there's not a constitutional issue here. There's not a federal issue here that we remain this decision back down to individual states. That we are self-governed, okay? What does that mean? That means states can vote on the abortion issue. The mayors can decide, or the governors, your politician that you elect. See how important it is to be involved in elections? See how involved it is to be in to who stands for what? And follow and hold them accountable? You know? How many people as Christians here do you think we should hold one another accountable? Because you love me, right? You want to hold me accountable? Because maybe if I'm young, off the left side there, you won't, man, I'm going to bring Starkey back. Amen? Amen. Well, folks, how much more should we hold those that we elect accountable? How often do we ever look at how they vote or what they're doing? Okay? If you send me to Congress and be your elected official, and let's say there's 50 of you guys in here, and I hear from two of you, and you think the complete opposite than what the other 48 does, but I don't hear anything else from the other 48, how would I be voting from the two people? Because I'm your representative. I might not agree with what you want me to do, but if majority is telling me, hey, this is what we want to do, that's what we do. And so today we're celebrating that this issue is no longer protected, never has been protected. There was no control there at all by the federal government. They made a decision they should have never made. So now it's back down to the state level. I know people rioting, say, oh no, they can't end abortion, women's right. It doesn't stop the abortion. It doesn't take away any rights. And there's never a right there to start with. Amen? And I always want to say this, you know, if I know ladies who had abortions and went through that, you know, there was a lot of stress going on, the toughest decision ever made, and you know, God forgives us. Understand that. We seek Him, yes. Them little babies are in the presence of God today. And we've all made decisions of different calibers, at different time, at different levels. Some of it is like, man, how could I ever decide to do that? Must be because you're not where you're at today, right? If every one of us could go back, if I go back in time 40 years ago, I made a lot of different decisions based upon Christ in my life today. Amen? But when I come to the Lord, He forgave me many of my sins. And He still forgives me my sins. Even this very day. Thank God. It wasn't a one-time deal, you know. I love it when He says 7 times 70. And one day at 490 times, you know. Sometimes it's been close to 489, you know. No, not that many, but that's His love for us. So, here we are today. Why are we celebrating so much? Well, it reminds me of a place in the Bible, a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody hear of Sodom and Gomorrah? It's, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to speak of it, but it's in Genesis 19, is where Sodom and Gomorrah, in fact, remember that there's not just Sodom and Gomorrah, there was Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bala. There was actually 5 cities involved there. Sodom and Gomorrah must have been the bigger cities, maybe, I'm not sure. But what happens is, man, it was really terrible, Sodom and Gomorrah. Anything you want to do, it was getting so perverted pretending. They had mattresses drug out. It was sexual perversion. They had mattresses drug out in the streets. New person coming to town, hey, it was fresh meat. Anything. It's getting really bad. Now, homosexuality was running wild, fornicating, all that stuff. You're always going to have sin, right? Sin's in the world. But what took place? What took place was when the five mayors, the five governors of those cities come together and they legalized it. They voted, yes, this is where we're going to be. It's permitted in our towns. Prior to that, yes, sin was sin. People held accountable. But now this is the governor said, okay, this is our cities. So I go back again. If you want to go surfing, don't go to Alaska, right? You go to California. If you show up in California, I'm assuming that you want to go surfing. You don't have to, okay? So if you got five cities, and they're very corrupt, and everything is terrible in it, and you're living in there, either you're participating, or you really don't care about your fellow man. Either way, we find ourselves now with a guy named Abraham. Abraham was a guy named Lot's uncle. Remember that? Remember Lot moved down to Sodom and Gomorrah? He moved in close by. He thought Sodom and Gomorrah looked beautiful. And so when Abraham told Lot, hey, we got to split up our herds. Maybe we got millions of sheep. You need to go one way. I'll go another way. You pick wherever you want to go, Lot. I'll take the other place. Abraham knew that he honored God, that God would bless him wherever he went. Well, Lot looked down and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah and saw the party life. And so he moved there. But outside the city to start with, I believe. It'd be kind of like, it'd be like me and my son. Although some of our herds are getting too big, we got to split up a little bit. And Ryan said, okay, Dad, wherever you want to move yours to, I'll go the opposite. Okay. I looked down and I said, oh man, they got a nice piece of property right there. It's only about 2 miles from the downtown tavern of Slim's Inn, Shady Bend, George's Tavern, Miller's Inn. I can go on and on. I never participated, you know. So I thought, well, I'll just move down there, you know, boom. And Ryan goes his way. Well, there it is. I'm not in the bars. I'm not running, okay? But I can hear that music. Woo! You ever hear any music from old days and your toes start stamping a little bit? And they can start drawing you back in and drawing back in? Amen? Amen? Well, there I was. See, my heart surely wasn't set on the Lord. It was, how close to sin can I get without sinning? Amen? Ever been that way before? Okay? That's sin. I want you to understand that. When you see how close you can get to sin without sinning, we've already sinned because of the heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Huh? Yeah, the motive behind that, you know. And, you got to watch it today too, guys. And ladies, TV shows. I mean, it's funny when you look at shows today I've seen years ago. I never noticed some of the stuff in there. The language and the nudity and stuff, I mean, like you never noticed it before. And you become a Christian, you're like, wow. And so when you know one of the movies are on TV and you're going through the channels, don't fall on that channel and drop the remote and try to find it for 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Don't lead yourself into the temptation. It's your heart. I don't want nothing to do with that. Amen? Amen. So, all the judges come together, the mayors, and they voted, this is what we're going to do. Oh man, the Bible says the cries went up to heaven. So God sent his angels down to see what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they come to destroy it. Wipe it out. Why? Well, the things that God called sin, they were entertaining it. They've perverted it big time. And Abraham interceded for his nephew Lot. Remember, he started out with 50. Hey, if you find 50 righteous people, will you not destroy? I will not destroy. How about 45 and 40? And 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Got down to 10. If I can find 10. 10. And why did it stop at 10? Some people say because it takes 10. It takes 10 righteous people to run a government, is my understanding of that. There was 10 people in his family, yep. So he interceded. Isn't that awesome? He interceded for his family, got it down to, hey, I got 10 people in the family because he had daughters and they were engaged to get married and stuff. Whew, yeah, if I can find 10. Well, Abraham didn't know the hearts of his family, the son-in-laws to be. So we get down there, as bad as said it was, and the destruction is coming. So the angels of the Lord told Lot to get his family out. And so Lot went to his son-in-laws who were going to marry his daughters. Said, come on, can we get out of tomorrow? It's good. Boom. You got to get out of this place. It's going to be destroyed. Let's get out of here. They thought, hey, this is a crazy old man. I'm paying no attention to him. Well, the next morning, the angels came and escorted Lot and his daughters and his wife out of the city. In fact, he told them to go to the mountains. God come to rescue Lot and his family. Say, okay, now we're going to go up here to the mountains. Get out of the mountains before I destroy the city. And Lot, I got to think about it for a second. I mean, I would say, if Fred come to me and say, hey, sir, get out quickly. Get the life yet real quick. Get it, life yet, this place is going to be destroyed. Oh, Fred, I can't run that far. How about Chatham? If I make it to Chatham, well, keep you safe, President. Okay, go ahead. If you get that far, that's okay. That's what Lot did. Lot said, man, I can't make it to the mountains. How about this little city over here? If I make it down there. And they agreed. I mean, I don't know. That takes a lot of guts. That's a whole different story there, I would imagine. But if someone said they're going to destroy this place, and you need to go there, I wouldn't be. I'd be in Bogie and gone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the whole city's going to be destroyed. I'd be stealing somebody's horse and repent later. I'd be getting out of there, you know? Well, that's how much God was in covenant with Abraham. It was Abraham's prayers, intercession, that give Lot the blessing. See, Lot moved close enough to the city, his family got enticed in it, you know? Yeah, we might be able to get close to sin and survive, but those coming behind us might not be as strong as you are in your faith. You know? I hear people say, well, yeah, listen, I'm not dragging my kids to church. I was younger, I was drugged to church, I ain't dragging my kids to church. You're doing a justice to your God. Because evil want nothing to do with right, amen? Not saying your kids are evil. God's saying it. And you are too. We're all born in sin, right? I mean, come on. Most kids, you say, Saturday night was always our bath night. You lived in the country years ago. You got the round tub out. Anybody else did that? The younger you was, the more dirty the water was, because you're right down on the totem pole, okay? But hey, guys, you know, if they come to him and say, hey, Saturday night, you guys want to take a bath or not take a bath tonight? Well, I ain't taking no bath. Amen? I mean, you're 5 years old, 6 years old, boom. The same way. Hey, going to church tomorrow, you want to come? No, I don't want to come. Okay, well, church will help you, you know. You're 7 years old. You're 8 years old. You're 13 years old. You're 15 years old. You're 17 years old. Still under my control, under my house, eating my food. I'm in my house, I serve the Lord. You can't make me. Come on. I'll call children's service here. Here's my cell phone. You call them. See what I'm saying? It's that inward. It's going to be that fight inside. But man, when you know that God is God and Jesus is Jesus, and we need Him to survive in this world, and whew, you're willing to go through all that. That's what Abraham was doing, interceding for Lot. He got out of the city. But his wife, her heart was still yawning for something back here in the city. And she turned to look. And she returned into a pillar of salt. Stone. And God came in. And did what he said he would do. He rained fire and brimstone down upon the city. And destroyed them. Why? Bottom line was the judges. the people they put in power, the mayor they elected, the people. That, I mean, we see it here all the time, like, elections have consequences. Okay? I wonder what they promised them. I won't be your mayor. You know, I'll increase this and give you that. Well, didn't you say if you got elected, you'll have a mattress on every corner? Didn't you say that our kids are going to be free game? But man, you have a nice ballpark. Or you have this or that. And look what the consequences had. Those who placed them in the power. Look at the destruction it had for their kids and the generations coming behind them. So what we want to do is learn from history, right? That's what we want to learn. So now we go back to Roe versus Wade. The judges had no business ruling on that at all. But they did. And for about 50 years, we have been under this umbrella. And now we're coming out of it, guys. One more illustration. And then I'll talk some more. Let's say there's 50 of us in this room right now. 50 of us in this room. Okay? There could be 50 of us. And 5 of you are stoned. You're drunk. You're drunk all the time. You're stoned all the time. And you come to church. Okay? Okay, I'm up here in the pulpit and I preach, hey, listen, you know, God loves you, repent from your sins. He says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of God. He'll give you strength to help you overpower that, be released from that sin, and may set you free. Woohoo! Yes, yes! Praise God! We're preaching the truth, okay? Set you free. Well, the 5 stoners sitting there, I'm not looking at you this time, Fred. Nah, just kidding. And they start talking among themselves. Now, Jeff, I understand that you don't get stoned, man. You don't get drunk. But I'm showing the Bible. I'm showing the Word of God. It says, He will give me my desires of my heart. My desire to get stoned. To get drunk. So do I have every right to do that? Well, Starkey, I guess. I guess I never really looked at it that way. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, we think they got every right to get stoned, get drunk, all the time, and to still get to heaven. So you guys take a vote. You're going to vote what the church is going to do. You come to me, Hill Pastor. It was pretty close, but it was 26 to 24. And we believe that we get the right to get stoned and get drunk and stay drunk and still go to heaven. All right. So I get up here on Sunday morning. I say, okay, guys, listen. Woo! Hey, it's okay, man. Fire them bowls up. Come on, we can get stoned. He's got some Mad Dog 2020 out there. Woo-wee. Yes, because it says right here, God will give us the desires of our heart. That's our desires. Oh, man. And I'm preaching, we're going to go to heaven. And I go on and on. But first of all, let's go back to the 5 who are getting stoned and drunk all the time. Okay? Now, we know God has set us free, right? But they're falling under a curse. You can't live in sin. Not be cursed. Not saying God don't love you, okay? And so we're going to gather here on Sundays before you all voted. Worship the Lord. You can feel the presence of God. The people who are stoned, who are drunk, think, oh man, there's a better way. I really believe that, okay? And the church is blessed because we're honoring God. And behind the pulpit, I'm preaching repentance. That God forgave you for any of your sins. It says right here in the Bible. It says right here in the Bible. No liar, no thief, no fornicator, no adulterers, no homosexual, no whatever it is, will see the kingdom of God to those who practice such things. But he'll release you from it. He'll give you strength. He'll save you from your sins. Woo! Amen. So how blessed will the church be because you're bringing out the truth. Amen. But when I get behind the pulpit, I say, it's okay. Things are different now. You can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, get stoned and stay drunk. Because that's the desire of your heart. God must have gave it to you, right? Can you just see the black cloud that came over this assembly? Because in the pulpit, I'm preaching, I'm lying to you. And out here in the assembly, there's still some of you guys out here that believe what the Bible says. So what are you doing? You're praying. You're interceding. No, you didn't take off. You didn't go to another church and know God brought me here for a reason. And they're off track right now. And so you end up praying, fasting, interceding, speaking the truth, because you want to overturn what the men preach from the pulpit. You want the truth to come back out. And through your prayers and fasting, one Sunday I get up here and say, hey, listen, I was deceived. I was wrong. The Bible still says, no liar, no thief, no fornicator, no gossiper, no homosexual, no drunkard, you shall enter the kingdom of God. Repent. God will give you strength to get out of sin. Can you guys see that cloud being lifted off the assembly now? Can't you see the ones who is praying and interceding? Say, yes! Thank you, Lord! Woo! The truth is out there. And some of those who the original five, some of them being set free, their eyeballs, wow! Now, some of them might say, oh, I've had enough of that. I'm going around the corner to the next church. And if I'm preaching and somebody listening around the corner, I'm not talking about you. This is theory, okay? He's like, hey, I'm going to move to California. Okay, go. But the assembly, the place that God established 18 years ago, is back in the Word, back preaching, and you think God's not going to bless this assembly again from coming out of darkness to the light? And guys, that's what God's, we give him the opportunity to do with the United States of America. That darkness has over been lifted. Our country stood up. The Constitution that God had us created, we went back to it. That's all we did. It wasn't that something was overthrown. It was corrected. It should never have been. Just like me behind the pulpit preaching, sin's okay, right? It should never have been, right? But being deceived, naive, I had nothing. People say, well, listen, God says he'll give you desires of your heart. If I would thought, wait a second, he'll give me desires. God won't give me a sin in my heart. Why would he, if he called this sin, why would he give me that desire in my heart? Who must have put it there? The devil. Amen. Satan. Out of the country, that's where we're at. We've been deceived. And so what you're seeing now, we were talking about this earlier. Well, not today, but yesterday, me and my wife. When you see all this hatred going on now, people scream, ah! It reminds us, if you've ever been around when you cast the demon out of somebody, okay, they can walk around with that demonic force inside of them and function to a degree. But when you get to the point and you expose it to the light, which is the Word of God, you say, come out! It goes nuts. Screaming like they don't want to give up, but he has to. It has to obey the Word of God. And so what you're seeing in our nation now, we're casting out the demonic force of murder. Amen? And Satan, you don't want to go. 60 million, they say, 60 million youngsters never made it. Okay? They're in heaven. Amen? They're in heaven. They're in heaven. But 60 million prayers, 60 million, who knows? How many things inside them little guys? Was there an answer for cancer there? Was there an answer for this or that? You know, because God, you know, He gives us the wisdom to do that. I don't know. You know, we could have been our own worst enemy. But that has stopped on the national level. Now it's going back to the states. So, to me, as we at least praying and seeking, it gives God a reason to pour out His blessing on America again. Amen? And now it comes down to the states. Every state can decide. And I see it as same way in the church here, you know. I posted it on, it was, for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Give God every reason to pour His blessing out upon us to be blessings to others. And each state will have the opportunity. You know, there's already states had banned complete abortions the minute this was overturned. Other ones have adjusted it. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. When it comes down to the life of a baby, and the mommy must decide what to do, and the daddy, that's going to be between them and the doctor. I mean, if you have to decide whether you live or the baby live, that's a tremendous decision. And you pray about it and let the Lord lead you. Amen? I mean, that's with my heart. But to use it just as a contraceptive, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that has to be a really difficult decision. Again, if someone made that decision before, and you repented of it, God forgives you. You know, there's a scripture He shared with us. And if we would have read this as a nation, I'll just read a couple of them. Job 12:10. It says, in His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. And God, the giver of life, commands us not to take the life of an innocent person. And do not shed innocent blood, Jeremiah 7:6. Now, if we go back in the 70s, go back in the early 70s, at least for a lot of guys, and ladies know there's a little bit difference maybe, but again, a lot of us thought a woman just got fat until the baby came out. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, okay, we don't really, there's a kid and we don't really recognize life yet. Amen? Not until he goes, wah, wah, you know, wah, okay? And so, we could be a little bit more naive on that. Ladies also. But just a few years ago, there was a scientific study took place, I think it was 6 years ago. Because we're always saying, when does life begin? You know, in Ohio, we have a heartbeat bill. Where the heartbeat of the life is protected. But as a scientist, not Christians, but scientists were studying. They studied a sperm and an egg. And as they come together, it lit up. It lighted. And so the one lady was confessing, she said, I just knew then, God is light. And that's a minute of conception. That's a minute of life. In a lot of countries, they've protected that moment. So we're saying that we're learning more about life. Amen? We're not as, gentlemen, we're not as naive that a woman just gets fat and a kid comes out anymore, you know? Because a lot of these issues and abortion took place because the ladies were scared because the men took off. In Psalms, Ezekiel 16, verse 20 and 21. These are the scriptures, if we would have dug into them, or understood them more, the decision could have been maybe stopped earlier. But Ezekiel 16, verse 20 and 21, it says, you took your sons and daughters, whom you bore to me, and sacrificed them. You slaughtered my children. So it shows right there. You took your sons and daughters, as our kids being born, whom you bore to me, and sacrificed them. And God said, you slaughtered my children. So right there, if we would have read that. So wait, these are God's children. Amen? It makes a little bit of difference there. No matter how you came into the world, I shared this before, they say you're a mistake or blah, 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 blah. God had a plan and purpose from the very beginning. And what shows me, in John 1:10 says that those who call upon the name of the Lord become the child of God. Those who are born again become a child of God. So what he's showing here that when a child is birthed, until he reaches the age of accountability, 8-10 years old, that's God's children. That's his. They are his. They were born with a sin nature, but they weren't able to sin. And then when they reach the age of accountability, that can be 10, 12 years old, until the day they get born again, you're not a child of God. You're his creation. But that sin has separated us from God. So when we get born again, we receive Christ as Savior, Lord, we become his children again. He recognizes us that. Heirs to the throne of Jesus, being restored. So that's some of the God's word there. That if we could have studied it more, I think we had better answers maybe for folks. But when it comes to the federal level, it's not protected. And then share one more thing with you. And this will be heated up in the near future. Same with same-sex marriages. There is no constitutional right for same-sex marriages. You won't find that in the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution says that a man's got a right to marry a man or a woman marry a woman. So it's not protected by any federal laws. But folks, it goes back down to the state. And your states, your legislature, for your elected officials, you decide how you're going to be governed. Amen? So that would probably be the next thing that will fall. Will be turned back down to the states. And again, I'm just telling you what your Constitution says. I really encourage you to get one and read it, you know, and stay up on some of the stuff, you know. Because if you don't know your rights, if you don't know what your Constitution says, and you're being governed by that, that's like the Bible. If we don't read the Bible, if we don't study it, if we don't put it to our heart and see what God's saying. I mean, this Bible here, this here. Huh? Yeah. But this is God's word, right? And we're here probably because we believe there's a God. And for many of us, we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sin and we received him as Savior and Lord. So this is what we live by. This is what you live by. You'll make a decision tomorrow? Is it in here? What's the Word of God say? Huh? You're going to do something tomorrow? What the Bible say? It said not to do it? You're going to do it? Oh! I mean, it's like God still loves us. But he's like, okay, his hand's in the back. You're out there on your own now. You're going to do it. Sorry, God. Forgive me. Oh, come on back in. Amen? That's what he wants. A lot of times you're going to read this thing and you'll realize, wow, I get that much freedom? But I just started off with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the things that I need, food, shelter, and clothing, be added to me. Well, don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord. I mean, we got here today, a little late, 10 after 9. I get out the front door, the lady going. I got the lady who's out there. She says, hey, my husband had not his anniversary. School reunion. And we have a plate of cheese left over. Would you like to have that? Oh, thank you. 65 years anniversary or school reunion. I know why they gave us the cheese. Watch out eating cheese when you get older, you know what I'm saying? But God had food out there for us, provide for us. Amen? So this is right here. And it's the same way in our Constitution. People say, well, listen, we have a right. Well, show me where the right is. Don't let people deceive you on that, okay? We're not here to hate anybody. We're here to love people. But to share the Word of God. You know? I truly believe with this ruling, it took that cloud off of us. It's like removing the cloud that was over top of Sodom and Gomorrah and those five cities. Everyone would be back down to individually. Individually being governed. States would be individually governed. And for any of us who were deceived and placed people in power that already told you they're going to murder kids and you put them in power anyway, and truly, if it saddens your heart, just repent. I just got to forgive you. I can forgive you. And just seek Him. If we have an election come up this fall, seek Him now. You know, we're on a roll for our kids because the generation that's right behind us is depending upon each one of us. That this country be governed by God. And that we would stand up and put people in power. Like those justices. I don't know what their political affiliations are. I don't know. I don't know if they're believers. I just know that they believe in the Constitution. All they did was affirm that piece of paper that our founding fathers put together a couple hundred years ago to protect us. Amen? Said, hey, God's not done with America yet. He's not done with you. If you find yourself that you made a decision outside the Word of God, overturn your decision. Amen? I plead the blood over me. Woo, I repent for my sins. God, renew my mind. Forgive me, Lord. Use me. Woo-wee. And He'll do that. He'll continue to further His kingdom within you and around you. Because the greatest day of the church is here. Hang on to your seats. Amen.